could ask, I'm going to ask Charlie to please stand up. Charlie Burton. And he's one of our councilmen here at Flat Top Church, and he's going to pray this morning for our service. He don't mind. He's on the prayer team, and he don't mind to be pointed out in a big crowd. Or quasi-big crowd. This is not a real big crowd. Go ahead, please. Yes, Jesus.
I pray for strength, encouragement, wisdom, Lord. I pray that we're just, everything we do is pleasing. I pray that there's things in our life that are not pleasing you, Father. You put a burden on our heart to change it. I pray that you just are drawn closer to all these things in Jesus Christ.
Amen. If you're visiting for the first time this morning, thank you for being here. Hang on, all right? I know this is a crazy place, but just hang on. You've made it this far. Don't give up yet. Amen? Oh, gosh. All right, John chapter 11. Go to verse 1. This is a backdrop. I'm using Lazarus. I'm using his sisters, Mary and Martha, as a backdrop. This message is it's been preached so many times in so many different ways, and you probably got me down as he preached here this year. He preached here this time last year. We'll go ahead and make a note right here beside this one. He's doing it again. And he don't care, all right? But we're going to use this as a backdrop for faith, amen, faith. This is, we're painting a picture, and that's the backdrop, okay? And I'm going to talk about faith today, and I'm going to try to shake you to the core of who you are in your faith. I believe there's a lot of people in this room that have been saved, born again, changed. But you're still bound in some of your old ways. And God really dealt with my heart this week on this message, and he's saying, I want to set them free. So really the heart of God today is to set you free. And you just hold on this morning, if you would. We're going to go through a lot of points, but then we're going to get to the big one at the end. And if I hit you with something, I'm sorry. So I mean something like physical. If it hits you, I'll apologize. Now, if you're in the middle row to the back, I probably won't hit you. But if you're up on this front row, I'm going to apologize in advance. John chapter 11, verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with the hair whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Let me get that last one. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I want to preach you this morning on the very first point of this about faith. It is impossible to operate in a relationship with God without having a relationship with God. Let me say it this. It's hard to operate in faith without you having a personal relationship with God. You stole my point right off there in the beginning, and somebody stole one during the singing, but I wanted you to get this, is you say things and do things, and you're talking in a faith realm, but you don't have a relationship in that faith realm, amen? And I want to use this illustration. It was on Facebook a couple of months ago or a couple of weeks ago, I'm not really sure, but it said, if you say that you're praying for somebody, but you don't have a relationship, you've not been born again, that's like you going down to the bank and withdrawing cash out of an account that you don't have and trying to give it to somebody else that they can't receive it from you. Amen? Because when you go to pray, if you don't have the account in heaven set up through Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, and you being a believer that he was the Son of God and died for your sins, and you've repented and turned from your wicked ways, then guess what? You're praying to someone who doesn't even hear your prayer about something that you have no idea about. It's a relationship. Did you notice? He said your friend's sick. Jesus has friends, amen? He said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, amen? God, servants don't know what God's doing. I know exactly what God's doing, amen? God's trying to save as many people in this world as he possibly can before the end. And you say, does he love me? He loves you beyond measure. He died for you. Amen. He loves you more than anybody else. He loved you before anybody else was loving you. He knit you in the womb. He made you. But while you were yet an enemy, died for you. Amen. Some of y'all say, I hate to say it in church. I've been in church a long time, but I hate it. I come to church and say, well, I wonder if God wants to move. I wonder if God's going to do anything. Man, listen, God's got more invested in this church service than you ever will. Amen. He wants to bless. He wants to heal. He wants to save. He wants to deliver. He wants you to go out of here better than you came in. But guess what? That ain't up to God, that's up to you. Amen. That's up to you. God's already paid the price. He put the money on the table. He put the deal on the table. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The deal's already been made. You just have to agree to it. I love that. You got to have a relationship. Guess what? Don't read, don't pray, don't attend, don't serve, don't do anything that God tells you to do. Don't listen to the Holy Spirit. You don't have a relationship with God, and you're wondering where God is. Some of y'all are mad at God, and that's okay. So I'm going to get that in a minute. Some of y'all are mad at God because he don't do it the way you want him to do it, but you don't have a relationship with him because when he does something opposite, you can't give him a break. I could preach on friends for a while. Some of y'all are terrible friends. Amen? Because if it's going your way and you're the champion and you're winning, it's all good. We can be friends, God. We can be friends with each other. But the minute somebody else starts winning and you start losing and you need somebody, you need to be the help to somebody, then you leave or you quit or you give up because guess what? You're not winning anymore. You're not getting the trophy. Somebody else is getting the spotlight and you're mad. Whew. Sometimes God wants to take the spotlight off of you and put it on somebody else. I don't even know where that came from, but just bear with me. I want to talk to you about a relationship with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Do you notice what he said? I noticed in the scriptures, he said, the one whom you love. Did you notice it didn't say, Lazarus, the one who loves you? And the very last verse I read, he said, and Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He didn't say that. He loved them. God loves you. Man, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I believe that for everybody but me. I know Jesus loves you, but sometimes I got to wonder if he loved me. But when I found out, guess what? I got in that relationship with Jesus. We're in the book of John, so I'll just use the book of John. John always wrote in the third person. It's kind of strange. He wrote about himself. He goes, the one in whom Jesus loved. Amen. Y'all ever read that? He says, I love when he says when Peter and John went down to the tomb when Jesus had been resurrected, they ran down to the tomb and he said, and the one in whom Jesus loved outran Peter. God, that's me. Amen. He was keeping score. The old man couldn't keep up. The 15-year-old blitz, I burn him down there and I outrun him, but I didn't go in early. I love it. But he said, I'm the one whom Jesus loved. And he said, how did he know that? Y'all have heard me preach this before, but I'm in love with it, so I'll preach it again. You know, if you walked into a room with all the apostles and disciples, there'd be some things going on. Thomas would be over there going, man, I don't understand the thing we're doing. But I'm just going to keep on going with Jesus. That's who I am. I really don't understand why God does it this way. I'd like to be in charge, but since he's not letting me be in charge, I'll just go along and I'll be highly critical of just about everything we're doing. Anybody else in that ballpark? Don't be honest with yourself. Just be spiritual giants then, okay? But then there'd be one in there, Judas. He'd be counting out coins the whole time. No, don't be mad at me. Just being truthful. Amen? And Peter, he's about 40 years old. He's hanging out with some guys that are just younger like John. He's annoyed. Come on. Am I in the same room? Some of you are about 45, 50, 60 years old, and everything is annoying. Get off my lawn. Slow down. Quit being quiet. Why are you running? Shop shouting. You mess with that. What are you doing here? That's mine. All right? Peter's sitting there going, man, this is terrible. But then you would walk in the room, and it's so amazing. You'd walk in the room, and John the Revelator, it was the most emasculating thing I've ever seen. He would have his chest laid up on the breastplate of Christ. Could you imagine any of these guys right here, 16, 17 years old? You walk in and he's got his head laying on Jesus' breast and he's just laying there. I know some of you in the back. I know some of you. I can see your face. You're like, that ain't me, Jack. No. I don't want nobody to catch me like that. I don't want nobody to see me in that kind of vulnerable position because I might look like something else. But ain't it amazing when God gets a hold of you, he can put you in a position to make you look foolish, but it's not foolish. It's really more powerful than it is foolish. Because while he was weeping and while he was hearing, what he was hearing on the breastplate of Christ, he was hearing, I love you. I love you. The reason he addressed himself as the one whom God loved, when he got close enough to hear the heartbeat of God, it was constantly a steady beating of, I love you. So no matter what you go through, no matter how well you succeed, shout. Oh, yeah. One shout, okay. Maybe that ain't shouting ground, because we can, some of us can succeed pretty well. Does anybody ever have any problems with succeeding? Man, if y'all don't start telling the truth, I'm going to preach till 3 o'clock. Does anybody in here have a problem with succeeding? Everything's going well. You really don't know how to handle that because you're kind of like a firefighter. And if everything's going well, you're the kind of person who sits around and creates problems because you don't know how to handle good things. I'm one. I was a firefighter for years in the ministry. I think every ministry that was falling apart had my cell phone number. Can you come? Yeah, I'll be there. So when I came into a healthy church, into a healthy ministry, it took me 2 years. I just kept waiting for, I'd put out fires that didn't exist. You'll get that in a minute. Some of y'all going, yeah, you beat me half to death, and I wasn't even on fire. Amen? You got it? Is there anybody in here like that? You know God loves you too. You should have shouted right there, because some of you, you're always waiting for trouble, and you'll make some if you don't have any. You don't know how to succeed. You don't know how to do well. How about all the failures? God knew the failures too. Is anybody in here struggling with failure? You think if you fail God, you fail people, fail your family. Somebody in here this morning, you think you're just the biggest failure on the face of the planet. Your kids, your situation, the COVID, all this. You don't know if you're doing it right or wrong. And I hate to tell you this, nobody does. But God will meet you in your failures and everywhere in between. Aren't you glad of that? When you're in a relationship with God, he's the only person in history, he's the only person that exists that looks at you and never sees you from the outside. You can fake it for most. You can put on for most. You can say one thing out of here and be in here different with everybody but God. I love how God, if you get around him for real and you start seeking him for real, he'll get down to the heart of the matter and you'll be saying, I love you, and you'll be in your heart, no, you don't. Oh, I want to worship you. No, you don't. Oh, I want to serve you big time. No, you don't. I want to do more, God. No, you don't. Hey, amen. But how about that one tender heart when you failed in every way possible? You didn't do exactly the way you said you was going to do, the promises you made to God, and he goes, I love you anyway. The door is still open for you to participate. The door is still open for you to do. I've not closed it. Ed, have you ever felt like the door has been closed? Have you ever felt like, God, all right, God, I messed up. I know, all right, I'm done. Might as well pack up and quit. Might as well pack up and give up. I'll just do me. God said, I didn't close the door. All you got to do is come back to me. I am the door. Amen. But he says, I love you. I love you. Amen. I love that. God does love you, but you know, we don't have to initiate the relationship. He does. Man, that's neat. Amen. Let's go a little further. I want y'all to see this. When Jesus heard that he was sick, is not unto death. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified. Verse 4. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou hither again? And Jesus answered, and there not 12 hours in a day? If any walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light in the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said, and after that he saith, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. I love Jesus. It's so cool. Y'all don't know what he just said right there. I spent a little time in the military, so I kind of know. I don't know everything about the military, but I do know this one. You know what he just said? Thomas told him, he said, if we go up, they're going to kill us. Jesus, I know they're trying to kill us. He goes, it's a dark time. We ever live in a dark time? But watch this right here. God's good. Amen. He said, us of faith, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Amen. Oh, never mind. He said, we got night vision goggles. That's what I meant by military. I've got to wear night vision a couple of times when I was in the Marine Corps, maybe about 10 times. Every one of them were exciting and fun times. Amen? I was in the jungles of Okinawa when I got to wear my first set. Amen? High speed, low drag. That's military term. Sorry. Night vision. I remember I was walking, and I didn't have a pair. We shared them. And I was in my platoon. I was a platoon leader, squad leader for my platoon. And it finally got to third squad. And they handed me, he said, "You're in charge of the night vision." He said, "You can give them to somebody or you can wear them yourself." I'm from East Tennessee. I ain't never had no night vision. I'm wearing the night vision, amen? But I had this sergeant that didn't like me and I didn't like him. And I wasn't saved. But we were walking through the jungles of Okinawa. And I put them on and I'm like, whoa. It's like daylight. I'm like, man. And you see people walking. They're walking in the jungle. They're like this. They've got their hands going out like that. And you're just like, I can see everything. Well, this one sergeant I didn't like. We all go, well, it was my job to kind of clear the way for everybody to go. So we get to this one area, and there's this huge limb. And I hold the limb back for everybody but him. I'm sorry, I wasn't always saved, and I kind of held a grudge, and I was competitive, and he didn't like me, and like I said, it's funny to watch somebody get hit in the face with something when they don't know it's coming. The reaction was amazing. Slap, oh, and he goes in this for 5 minutes. Oh, what happened? I was like, oh, what happened? What happened? Are you okay? Are you here? I threw that in there because every time I talk about night vision, I want to remember that. I love that story. I love that. I love that equipment. But it reminded me, when we believe in God, we don't have to see with our physical eyes. God will turn your night vision on and let you walk through hard times. Some of y'all right now, you're watching the news, you're watching people, you're listening to the responses of everybody, but you're not turning on your night vision to see God and to see it His way. You can walk in the darkest of times, but you're going to have to turn your night vision on. You're going to have to turn your faith vision on. And everybody else is going to be hitting stuff and falling and stumbling, and you're going to be able to walk through that and say, I see what God's doing. I might not agree with it. I don't like the method. I don't even know if I like the outcome or what we're doing, but I can see it. Oh, y'all good with that? I love that. He just told them when we're walking up there. So I want let's go a little further. These things say at the end of them after our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Verse 12. I'm going to slow down my talk right here. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. That's verse 12. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spoke of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days. Now when Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. I got 2 points right here. I want to give you all this really cool stuff. When we run into a problem that we can't fix and we don't know what Jesus is doing, a lot of times we just cover it up. It's kind of hypocritical, but everybody in here is a little hypocritical about something. I meant you too. Y'all so spiritual. No, I'm not hypocritical about nothing. Some of y'all are on a diet and y'all don't stick with a diet at 12 o'clock at night. Hey, man. Some of y'all are on a diet until nobody's looking. Is that good? Exercising, eating salad, woo! Oh, his salad's good. Oh, his tomatoes and onions, woo, that's good. About 12 o'clock at night, though. You know what I mean? Your wife coming here the next day, hey, you know what? I think we got mice in our house. What do you believe we got mice? What are you talking about? There's crumbs all over the kitchen. We need to set a trap or something. No, y'all get that later. We need to get this investigated. But this is the thing that I just totally forgot what I was thinking about. Sorry about that. Howbeit Jesus spake in death. goodness, I lost my thought on that one. Goodness, let's move on to the next one. Then Jesus said unto him, plainly, Lazarus dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you believe nevertheless. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, let us go. Verse 17, and when Jesus came, he found that they had laid him in the ground. Oh, we cover up our messes. We cover up our stuff. We cover up a lot of things. And we get to the place where we just release it. Talk, God. By faith, I love you. You didn't come. You didn't show up. I just release it. I'm just letting it go. God, we'll bury it. We'll cover it. We'll just put it on top of it. He's over there. That problem's over there. I prayed about it. I called unto Jesus. I wanted him to come, but he didn't make it. Amen? He didn't come. You know what? I started studying on this, and I started seeing that Jesus, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was only about 2 miles away. Only about 2 miles away. And if he's any further, they still had time to send somebody, and the person came back and said, I talked to him. I know I connected with him, but it didn't seem like he was coming. Amen? I reached him with a problem, and he's a friend of yours, but he ain't coming. Have you ever prayed and asked God to do some stuff, and it seemed like he didn't know how serious it was? And they was dying. Some things die when you're waiting on Jesus. Hey, God, do you not see the financial need here? They're talking about the rent's due. They're talking about the power's due. They're talking about this, and I don't even have the job yet. God, can you? It seems like my relationship with my wife and my husband and my kids is falling apart. And I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and I'm surrendering. But God, it doesn't seem like you're. I mean, I called you. It don't seem like you're that. You said that you're omnipresent. That means you're everywhere. But it don't seem like you're here. I mean, Jonah got in a boat and tried to run from you, but everywhere he went, you were there. I was just wondering, God, if do I just got to cover this up? Does I just got to let it go? That hurts, don't it? I hope y'all can be real with God, because God don't mind you being real with him. But God, you didn't know it, but he was having a conversation in a place that you couldn't hear, with people you couldn't see or hear, and he said, this is for my glory. I'll just give you a preview. I'm doing something better, but they don't know it. Golly, some of y'all don't know this. As a Christian, things are going to get better. It's just we're in a position that we don't know everything God's doing. But I do know the end. Amen? I don't have to know all the details, but I do know what it looks like when it happens. Amen? Watch this right here. Watch. This is my favorite part of this story. This is the most real part, and I hope you get a hold of this. Some of y'all in this room, get a hold of this. Verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto the Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's the 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning the brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. I can tell you I got a whole lot of Martha in me. Amen. Can y'all see this? Jesus coming. I see her walking, I'm telling you right now. Call him. I call him to the funeral. I call him to the hospital 2 miles away. I could have ran 2 miles by this time. Come on, y'all be. She's angry with God. Some of y'all been angry with God, but you faked it and you fronted on God and you act like, oh, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Oh, God, pray. You pray superficial prayers. God can handle you being mad. He can handle in faith, he can handle you being mad. He can handle it. He can handle everything else. Why don't you just be real with him? I'm mad about church, God. Church has been terrible for me. I'm mad at church folk. I'm mad at my family. I'm hurt. I'm mad that you ain't saved them yet. I'm mad because so-and-so died. I prayed through. I mean, there was times in my life when I was young in faith, I could have gave up on God if I'd have let the anger take over. There was a time when there was a man dying of severe cancer. He had softball-like tumors all through his body, and God told me to drive a whole different way to go by the hospital and pray for him. I walked through 2 feet of water all the way up to my knee in dress clothes because one side of the hospital was locked down. So I walked around the other side, went in his room, and he said, why are you here? I said, God told me to come by and pray for you. I was just naive enough to think, man, I must be carrying a healing. Because I had no other reason to be there. But that man passed away. And I was sitting there going, wait a minute, God. Why'd you detour me? Why'd you send me through? Why'd you want me to go by? I felt like you set me up for failure. I hope y'all can be real that with God because he don't mind. Do you think, I wonder if Martha's sitting there going, how many times did I fix him dinner? How many times did he come to my house? Mary's so aggravated, she's a worshiper. She knows if she goes out there, she's going to end up at the feet of Jesus. She did one better. I ain't even going. Have you ever made up your mind you ain't even going to go anymore? I wish some of you come back to Jesus. God will put you in the right church. Just come back to Jesus. Why won't people come back? I want people to get in love with Jesus. He'll put them in the right church. He'll put them in the right ministry. That's not my business. That's God's business. Watch this right here. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. What's the good thing about this? She's mad as a hornet, but she's talking to Jesus. You can be mad and not talking to Jesus, you're in trouble. Amen? Tell everybody else you're trouble, not God. But oh man, she's went right to the source. And God loves it. You don't think God knew that she was coming? God knew you was coming. You didn't think he knew you got up this morning, got dressed, and got ready to come to this service? Some of you came to this service, and you're trying to make it through. You're sitting here going right now, man, I wish you'd hurry up. I'm just wasting my time. I wonder where we're going to eat dinner, man. Hey, but let me tell you something. God knew you was coming here, and he knew the attitude you would have. And you know what? He's trying to save you anyway. He's trying to heal you anyway. He's trying to set you free anyway. She got right in his face. Jesus, if you'd been here. Golly, could you imagine? Walking right up to God, face to face. God, if you'd been here. You could have healed my brother. You should have been here. That's what it really comes down to. Should have been here. I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm hurt. Watch this right here. But she gets revelation because she's talking to God. If you're talking to God, he don't mind. Some of y'all need to blow it out. Some of y'all need to blow it out with God. Some of y'all need to have it out. Because it's in your heart. Might as well put it in your mouth. Amen? Oh, never. But I know that even now, what? Whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. I bet she didn't even mean to say that. She was mad. If you'd have been here. But if you was to ask something, you'd probably. I bet she didn't even know. She's worshiping God. She didn't know it. If you go to God mad, if you're talking to him, you'll eventually read the book of Psalms. Start out happy, start out upset, start out heartbroken, start up ready to give up. By the end of the psalm, guess what you're doing? God is good. God is great. God is holy. That's what David did. David said, I feel every psalm, 37, 73, the enemy's winning, we're going under, this is terrible, I don't know what you're doing. Da, da, da. By the end of it, God, you're great, you showed me my end. They're going down, I'm going up, hallelujah, praise God, let's get on with it. Amen. God doesn't have a problem with you coming to him and pouring yourself out before him. Before you know it, you'll realize that you're talking to God and he's got all the answers. Man, this is verse 23. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Hallelujah. He said something spiritual? Well, anyway. Never mind. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know that. I know all that. Then Jesus does something amazing. He gives her a bigger answer than she was ready for. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he yet were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest this? You know what? He just blew up on the biggest doctrines ever. We're all waiting on the resurrection. He is the resurrection. The resurrection compared to God has already happened. If you're saved this morning, you're as much in heaven as you ever will be. He's. You can go to Ephesians chapter 2. You sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus today. But watch this right here. Watch this. He's like, I am the resurrection. I can do the resurrection now. I can do it then, or I can do it later. Amen. Woo! She's standing there. She's in the presence of God getting the answers that she didn't even know she needed. Have you ever went to God and you're talking to God and you want what you want is you want him to do it your way, but then all of a sudden he tells you his way and then you're like overwhelmed, sitting there in a pool of sweat, blood, slobber, and tears, going, oh God, I didn't know, if I'd have knew, I would have not been so brash. I wouldn't have been so harsh. I wouldn't have been so dismissive. I would have came running out here and just fell on my face. Y'all good? I love it. Do y'all love this? I love this stuff. We're about to get into the good parts again. Y'all said the whole message you say is good. Jesus saith to her, I am the resurrection. Verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. Then when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Ain't that crazy? Mad! Approach God, gets a revelation, gets the word of God. Now she's excited, saying, I know you're the Son of God. Runs back and tells Mary, the Master's here. Man, her infection, she probably, you know what she was thinking? If Martha ain't mad, do you have a sister that's mad all the time? Okay, well then it's you. Amen? All right, do you have a brother that's mad all the time? Well, it's you, all right? It's the angry one, the bitter one, the one who's complaining, the one who's got a, hey, I mean, it's usually an A-type personality that wants it done their way right away. When Martha come back and said, it's the Master, Mary's like, oh, Lord, what's the workers worshiping? I must go. All right? Some of y'all are such A-type personalities. For you, when you're worshiping, we know the Spirit of God's here. Amen? You know what I mean? If you got your hand up, everybody's like, oh, no. Either they're not getting good reception, or they have a question, or Jesus is here. Amen? Some of your hands go up automatically. Not one song, not one word. Worship time. Oh, sorry. Golly, I'm so sorry. That double-handed thing, that's Pentecostal. Let's do that. Thank you, Jody, for laughing for that one. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here. Oh, where am I at? 23, when Mary was come, there Jesus was, where Jesus was and saw, she fell down at his feet. I told you, she can't help herself. Saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then they said, the Jews, behold, how he loved him. I want y'all to see this. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man, I love little ifers, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused this man should not have, could raise him from there, that this man should not have died. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus went to the place where they quit. The Word of God, the Word, Jesus is the Word, was God, was made flesh, dwelt among us. Amen? The Word went to the place where they quit. It's all right to quit sometimes, ain't it? It feels good. Give up. Can't do no more. Put them in the grave. Can't do anything else about it. I'm done. Right? But you know what? The quitting place is a hard place to return to, especially with Jesus. Because once you quit or once you give up, you try to move on and you don't want to have any hope in it anymore. Have you ever gave up on a dream? Gave up on a ministry? Gave up on something that God put on your heart and burned in your heart? And guess what? Jesus says, hey, let's go over there and let's see that. I don't want to go back. Some of y'all are still grieving. Some of y'all have grieved lost loved ones, grieved situations, relationships, everything like that. And God will take you to the place where you quit. Jesus is a hard person to take to a place where you quit because you'll try to give him all the reasons why we shouldn't be here. Amen? Jesus will take you to the graveyard. I don't want a graveyard. That's where it hurts. That's a hurting place. Well, it's a healing place too. Amen? If you get Jesus in it. Do you imagine, they just go up to the grave and they're all standing there, but Jesus, they're different. He didn't make it for the burial. He didn't make it for the funeral. He didn't make it to the hospital. But he's there 4 days later. 4 days later or right on time. Always right on time with God. Amen? Let's just go a little bit further. Watch this. Oh, this is my favorite. Jesus, in verse 39, says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. God don't care about your stinking problems. He can fix every one of them. Amen. And I don't care how bad it stinks. He can handle it. But watch this. He said, take away the stone. Jesus saith unto him, watch this, saith unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hast heard me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He only said it out loud because the people that were standing there. And when he thus had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. All right, Lazarus, come forth. I love this. They rolled away that tomb, and they're all sitting there. And I wonder what Lazarus is kind of going through at this point in time. But his eyes open up, and you know, he's wrapped totally from head to toe. The Jewish custom is to wash somebody's body from top of their head to the bottom of their feet, and then wrap them with a wrapping all the way around their body and put a handkerchief over their face. So his eyes come open. God dropped this in my spirit about 6 or 7 o'clock this morning. He said, if the spirit was gone and it came back, that means the spirit dwells somewhere for eternity. Y'all get that later, amen? If the spirit had left him for 4 days, where'd it go? It went into eternity. Your spirit's going to go somewhere for eternity. Stop letting the devil lie to you and saying, well, it just ends right there at death. Absolutely don't, because if it just ends right to death, Lazarus' spirit could have never came back. Amen. God could have never called. He called it back from somewhere. Amen. Oh, you'll get that later on. Amen. I want y'all to. God touched me with that, and I said, "Oh Lord." He said, "Yeah, that spirit was. It was somewhere in eternity, and I called it back." Amen. But if he can call it back for Lazarus, that means the spirit goes somewhere for eternity. Your spirit's going. Your body's going to go away, but guess what? Your spirit man's going to live forever. Amen. But I love this. He said he rolled away the stone. And I just, could you hear it? That first, he turns and sets his feet down, and they're all, well, that's just some rocks moving. That's just some rocks moving. And then maybe like a couple of feet in, you know, he's, oh. And you know, he's kind of, what is that? Can you see him yet coming to the edge of the edge of the cave, looking out, right? And this is kind of where, hey, Scott, come on up here. Start getting your song ready. Watch this right here. We got a little process to go through right here, but I want to show you something. And he said, verse 44, and that he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, I loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. And I thought, man, that's cool. But I wonder how that went down, because he's bound hand and feet. He's wrapped from the top of his head to the bottom. He's got the cloth over his face. He's like a mummy, more or less. And I started thinking, I'm like, man, Jesus, what's that? You know, because underneath all those rags, those grave clothes, he didn't have nothing on. Hey, Lazarus, we got this stone rolled away over here. Come over here, buddy. We're going to cut you loose, because, see, you're in the grave clothes. Physical healing or physical miracle has a spiritual connotation to it. So the things that he was wrapped up with were the things that he was living in the, or dead in the tomb with. Amen? He was dead. Okay, the spiritual connotation is we were all spiritually dead and bound up in our grave clothes, and Jesus saved us, but when he saved us, we're still bound in who we were, and he wants to take off who we were and make who we are. Amen. He wants to put on the whole armor of God. He wants to dress you spiritually, but he's got to be able to take off the grave clothes. So I kind of got, I'm one of these people who see things like a movie. They're like, hey, Lazarus, you know how like when your mama used to do when you had to change clothes in public? Come over here, son, and they block you, you know, either in an aisle or a doorway. And it's, all right, boy, get in there, you know. All right, Lazarus, man, you got me. Your feet are bound, and we're trying to get you out of here. Just like, here, man, get that off of you and get that off. I don't know if I'm hitting you, but I'm sorry. And that right there, man, you can't be able to, you're not going to be able to walk with that on you, Lazarus, and you can't be able to reach with, you can't reach with those bound on you, and you can't see if that handkerchief's on your face, and you can't even get a good walk in those old death sandals. And who you are now is not who you're going to be. And I need you to, God, I'm just trying to get this stuff off you where you can be the God, man God wanted you to be. Be the Christian you need to be. Be the man you need to be. Because God wants you to go places and you can't go places all bound up. The reason I did that for you this morning is this. Some of y'all are born again, saved. But you're bound up in sin. Lying, cheating, stealing, pride, arrogance, cursing. And I wish some of you would either from where you're sitting, or if you feel comfortable enough, to walk up here and throw your rag on this altar, or just throw it maybe to the middle. And whatever you're bound up in, you'll say, God, I'm throwing it away where I can be loosed in you. I want to be loosed in you. I want to be set free. I'm saved, but I'm bound in pornography. I'm bound in drugs. I'm bound in having sex. I'm bound in lying. I've got a prideful spirit. I've got an angry spirit. I've got a backbiting and a murmuring spirit. I like to gossip. Amen? I like to be in control of everything. Let's all stand.